Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Friday, December the 2nd, on a rainy, overcast, but very nice day in southern Arizona. I am Bill Buckmaster, and I thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live Monday through Friday at noon on The Voice, KVOI, AM 1030. It is southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And a big shout-out to our Voice Network partners in Douglas, where Cochise County residents listen to our show on 930 AM KAPR, and in Gila County in Globe, Eastern Arizonans tune into the Buckmaster Show on KJAA AM 1240. The program is streaming live on our website, buckmastershow.com, and on the KVOI.com website. If you miss a particular show, all programs are archived at buckmastershow.com. We also have three venues now to choose from for 24/7, anytime, anywhere listening to our program. Those venues are buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. Fridays on the Buckmaster Show, we get things going with our Friday Focus interview featuring a Southern Arizona lawmaker. Today we welcome Clarence Dupnik. He has been the sheriff of Pima County, well, since 1980, right?
That's correct.
Okay, 1980. Joining me to question Sheriff Dupnik is Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com. The Sentinel is Tucson's online news service. We invite you to join in the conversation on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. You can also submit questions at BuckmasterShow.com or on the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Want to remind you the Friday Focus on the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends at Splendido at Rancho Vista Stoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Dylan and Sheriff, thanks to both of you for being with us.
Great to be here, as always.
Lots to talk about with Sheriff Dupnik. Why don't we begin, first of all, with the fact that crime is down, not only here in Tucson and Pima County, but across the nation. Some of your thoughts on why, and the jail population, which has been down all year. What's going on?
Well, what I'd like to do, I guess, is stand up and beat my chest and pat myself on the back.
What a great job you're doing.
We really catch a lot of crap when things aren't going well. But the fact of the matter is, law enforcement, in my judgment, doesn't have much impact on crime. I shouldn't say that. It has a marginal impact on crime. What's important with law enforcement is that we create a good agency full of professional people who are full of integrity and enthusiasm, and we have all of that. I think especially the people that are blessed with the Sheriff's Department in Tucson. We have for 35 years we've been hiring nothing but quality people, and now they are replete in our organization, and I just happen to be one of them. But about a year and a half ago, our calls for service started going down. Our crime rate started going down. And our jail population started going down. Now, that's unprecedented. I've been a police officer here for 53 years.
Started with the Tucson Police Department.
And I have never seen a time when crime wasn't going up and jail populations weren't going up. You know, we were always in the building phase for new jails because we knew that each year we have more and more people in jail.
It was about a decade ago that we dramatically expanded the size of the Pima County Jail. And now, is the jail population now below what the old jail could have handled? Or did we need that expansion
where we're at now? We needed
the space. Was that still a necessary move?
Oh, no, we needed the space, but we were anticipating that we probably would be housing about 2,300 or 2,400 people at this moment. We are now housing about 1,800, which is down from a 2,100 average last year.
So we've got plenty of extra room down there.
Well, I wouldn't say we have plenty of room, but we have a space that makes it easier to administer the jail.
Does that keep things safer, having a lower population?
Absolutely. When you start crowding jails, you start having all kinds of issues arise.
So is it more of an – is there actually empty space, or are we just at a point where it's really a better use of the jail?
Well, it's a better use of the jail, but we also have a little empty space. We have room for 200 or 300 people, which I guess the state has decided they're going to give the taxpayers of Pima County because they don't want to raise the taxes because they all signed these little pledges. They're going to make the counties house some of their prisoners at our cost, the taxpayers in Pima County and every other county across the state.
It's 10 after 12 on the Buckmaster Show. Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk is with us. Dylan Smith is also joining in the questioning from TucsonSentinel.com. If you would like to ask the sheriff a question, he would be glad to answer the question, 790-2040. Getting back to your theory, perhaps, of why crime is down, kind of give me a bottom line on that one.
Well, I've talked to some experts in the field, and they all basically say the same thing, that the crime population age, 15 to 25, is diminishing. The crime age is going down. The population is decreasing.
Coming up now on the 1 year anniversary of the tragic shootings of January 8th. I think those shootings really pointed out how mental health services are such an important part or need to be an important part of the community. But those services have been dwindling. Law enforcement winds up many times on the front line, first interveners really with some of these people. And I know the training is continuing. Law enforcement, the Sheriff's Department will be involved this week at the Southern Arizona Law Enforcement Training Academy. That's a program that's in partnership with the Community Partnership of Southern Arizona and law enforcement and offering this crisis intervention team. What do you say generally about mental health issues in this community?
It sucks. If you want a, you want a candid answer. You know, I started out as a young cop in 1958, and we had insane asylums. We had the Arizona State Hospital, and people who were judged to be psychotic were sent to the state hospital. Well, there was a hue and cry in the social studies and specialized field of psychiatry and psychology that said that that was basically cruel and unusual punishment. And to be candid about it, it was. Those hospitals were a mess. So the country generally decided what we need to do is take as many people out of there as we can and put them into treatment centers in the communities that they came from. And everybody thought that was a good idea. But the problem is we didn't develop the system to handle these mentally ill people. And unfortunately, we have drugs compounding the problem. And we have so many people out in our society now that really need specialized service, and they aren't getting it.
It's 12:12 on the Buckmaster Show. Let's go to Robin now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Robin has a question for Sheriff Dubnyk. Go ahead.
It's more of a comment. The sheriff, many people don't know, has been supporting a program called Right Fight, where we get kids more involved in their schoolwork, raising their grades. He, for the last 25 years, he and some of his deputies and volunteers have helping kids be doing better in their schoolwork through getting them involved in aviation. And I just want to acknowledge him for that and thank him for all the times he's helped out Right Flight in this community.
Well, Robin, I'm glad that you called. I haven't talked to you for quite a while, but you and the people that are associated with you do a fantastic job reaching out into that high-risk community. And providing an opportunity for these kids to get involved in something that leads them on a path to be more successful in life. And I, on behalf of the community, I say thank you, Robin.
Here's Dylan Smith now from TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan?
Over the past, even more than a year, pretty much the past couple of years, you've gotten a lot of criticism for various, you know, politically oriented things. You're an elected official. You've spoken your mind on a few things. Right after the very day of January 8th, you've gotten some flack for the Jose Huerena incident. You've certainly, you know, been a focus of some people because of your comments you made about SB 1070. First off, Is there any separation in your mind between you as an elected official making these statements and you as the law enforcement officer?
Well, I think one of the responsibility that I have as an administrator of a fairly large organization, we have 1,500 employees, is to point out issues that I think are relevant when it comes to public safety. And Senate Bill 1070 is certainly a relevant issue. And talking about the people that are inflaming our public by basically conditioning them to hate government, to hate politicians, to don't trust anybody, and then to have politicians talking about we're going to put them in our target and we're going to do all these things. You know, it's a serious public safety issue. And I was on January the 8th, I was very angry. Coming back from California, hearing about what was going on, being interviewed live on CNN, and I got a little angry with CNN at the time because they were reporting that Gabby was dead. And her poor husband heard that before he got on the plane in Houston, and for 2 or 3 hours thought on that plane ride that his wife was dead. The same with her father. And it was, in my judgment, something that's unforgivable, how the press could do that. Now, I'm not painting all the press that way, but in this particular case, it was NPR that put it out initially. And some of the national services picked it up and broadcast it. As a matter of fact, the lady that was interviewing me live when I'm in the car up by Quartzsite kept talking about how Gabby was assassinated, and I interrupted her the first time. She ignored me, and I finally had to say, "Ma'am, she is not dead." And then there was a silence. What do you mean? I said, "Well, we have a doctor that's on our SWAT team that's at the hospital, at the operating room, and assures me a few minutes ago that she's still alive." And then she didn't know what to say.
There was a lot of... Well, to be charitable, there was a lot of lousy reporting that went on that day. People repeating what other people said without confirming it, and it led to sort of a perfect storm of lousy journalism.
Was there any apologies that you know of from the media, some of the early reports?
There were explanations that were given, of course. You know, an apology is not something that is oft forthcoming.
Yeah. Well, they blamed law enforcement for the erroneous information, and I know that couldn't have been true because I'm getting the same information that the reporters are getting.
NPR said that their sources were somebody in the sheriff's department and somebody in a congresswoman's office. That's what they claimed.
Right, and they never failed to disclose who that was.
Why don't we take a break right here? 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. Sheriff Dupnik is with us on our Friday Focus interview. Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. If you'd like to join in the conversation, you will be first up, 790-2040, after this break as we listen to the Buckmaster Show sponsors.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's 12:21 on the Buckmaster Show. The Friday Focus interview today is with Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dupnik. We have been talking about a variety of issues, including the one-year anniversary that is coming up of the Tucson shootings on January 8th. Sheriff, joining me is Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. Sheriff, Governor Brewer's book, I understand she had some rather unkind things to say about the way she feels you reacted on January 8th.
She did. She said that I was craven.
Craven.
Politically opportunistic to say the things that I said.
And you went to the dictionary to look up craven.
And I hope she knows what that means because nobody in my office knew what it was. We all had to look it up, and it means cowardice. So she called me a coward.
What was the context? I mean, why call
well,
you a coward?
Well, I think it was because I was talking about the political climate and experience that Arizona was undergoing with what I thought was racism and bigotry and this obsession that the legislature seemed to have with guns. They were getting ready to allow them in a classroom. And in addition to being angry because one of my good friends, Judge Roll and Gabby, were among the victims in that case, I was very angry, and I said what was on my mind.
What do you think the issues will be in this upcoming election? You'll be running for another 4-year term. There are several candidates who have announced or are considering on the Republican side. What do you think the issues are going to be? What will you be running on?
Well, I think I'm going to be running on the fact that over 30 years we have created as fine a law enforcement agency as there is anywhere. I would challenge somebody to find an agency that is superior to this one. It was not just me. We got a lot of good people together, and we have good programs, and we've done nothing but hire, as I said earlier, good people. We train them well. We manage them well. We insist on discipline and integrity and all of those things, and I think we provide excellent service to the community.
A more recent case than January 8th and SB 1070 were it was more the statements of other people that raised controversy, but it was the actions of the Pima County Sheriff's Department. Have there been any developments lately in the Jose Warana case? What's going on?
Well, we've been sued, and so it puts me in a difficult position because the lawyers always tell us to keep our mouths shut, unlike what lawyers are telling Mr. Kane. But there will be some developments in that case before long, but we have looked at that case, and I can tell you that if the same set of circumstances presented itself tomorrow, the result would probably be similar.
Well, one of the things that, you know, just in conversations I've had with people, that the point that they raise is, you know, you had a no-knock warrant to go into this place, and one of the reasons to have a no-knock warrant is that people might be destroying evidence. Jose Warana was shot and then basically left to bleed to death for an hour or so. Well, no one went in the house. And during that hour, couldn't somebody have been destroying evidence? Why not go in the house and save this man's life potentially and secure the rest of the situation?
Well, in hindsight, first of all, the man died almost immediately, according to the coroner. But we didn't use a no-knock warrant, even though it was a no-knock warrant. We had equipment in the front yard with loudspeakers blaring at them. The neighbors all came out to see what the hell was going on. There's no way the people in the house couldn't hear what we were doing, and broadcast to them three times from the front and the back of the house that we had a warrant and we were coming in. Would they please come out?
Because the video that you released only shows a few seconds before the shooting started.
Right.
That's sort of the perception that everybody has is that you guys knocked down the door and immediately started firing through the doorway.
Well, that's not what happened.
Has all of this with the Garena situation, that was, more than 6 months ago, has that caused you to reevaluate procedures with the Pima County Department's SWAT team?
We are constantly undergoing evaluation and training. As a matter of fact, we train for one full day every 2 weeks with our SWAT team. And part of the training includes evaluation some of the cases that have happened. You know, we have started a regional SWAT team. It's not just Pima County. We have almost every agency that's not in the city of Tucson that participates in our SWAT team. And as a matter of fact, we had three officers from three different agencies involved in that operation.
Leaving all these past incidents behind, you know, just sort of looking at where you are currently, what is your biggest law enforcement challenge? Is it mental health issues? Does it have anything to do with immigration? Is the crime rate changing any because of our bad economy?
In my judgment, the biggest failure that we have as a country is drugs. Because it's drugs that are responsible for so much of this other criminal activity and so much of the violence that goes on. And we have not figured out a way to deal with that.
Would that be drug use here or just drug smuggling because of where we're situated?
Well, we get it double, and that's the problem. We're not like countries far away from the border. Not countries, but states far away from the border. And we have a lot of violence associated with the smuggling, international smuggling. But the fact of the matter is, in my judgment, until we can figure out a way to deal with drugs on the streets, we're not going to succeed. Because as long as there's drugs out there on the streets, the kids are going to use them.
And how do we do that?
I don't know.
And unfortunately, this time of year, people will be using, will be under the influence of drugs and alcohol and getting behind the wheel. Would you agree with the director of the Governor's Office of Highway Safety, who was in town this week to kick off the campaign to prevent driving while under the influence, when he said that he called the holiday DUI violators, I think he said, a bunch of idiots?
Well, he should have said irresponsible idiots.
Well, the campaign will begin, what, soon?
This weekend, as a matter of fact. Every law enforcement agency in the Valley is participating in it. And let me tell you that this has been going on for several years. And compared to what was going on 6-8 years ago with reference to DUI accidents and DUI arrests at these checkpoints, we have made major strides in this state.
Are the arrests up and the DUI? Or?
No, the arrests are down and the accidents are down.
Okay, so that's the good news.
The people who are being arrested, are they less drunk than they used to be as well, or are they about
no,
the same?
No. As a matter of fact, almost half of them are fairly drunk.
So the irresponsible idiots are still being irresponsible.
They are still out there, and we need to figure out how to deal with those people. But we've made substantial strides. I'm really proud of what law enforcement in the state has done when it comes to DUIs, because the data shows that the programs are being successful. People are having the
gotta go
sober drivers, and I gotta go, you gotta go, and I gotta go. And
thank you, Sheriff, very much. Have a great holiday season.
Thank you very much. Nice chatting with you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The British government says all diplomats from the Iranian embassy have now left the country. They were kicked out by the government in retaliation for attacks on the British embassy in Tehran. Small businesses that were skittish about the economy over the summer have started hiring in bigger numbers. That helped to drive the unemployment rate down to 8.6% last month. Treasury Secretary Geithner will be heading to Europe next week as leaders there work on a plan to resolve the European debt crisis. Well, it could explain all of those kitten videos, among other things. According to some new research, many Americans and a majority of young adults routinely go online for no particular reason. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 38 points, the Nasdaq trading 10 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pet orthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
Hi, Meg. I see you're cleaning out the garage.
Not exactly. I'm trying to find Grandma Lynn's clock, for what it's worth.
For what?
What's it worth with a Z? It's an antiques appraisal fundraising event on February 12th at the Doubletree Hotel. You can bring in two items, have them appraised by those famous appraisers, you know, you see on TV.
Famous appraisers?
Yeah, you know, Colleen Fesco, Michael Flanagan.
How much does it cost, and what can I have appraised?
A $60 ticket, woman, admits two people, and you can bring up to two items. You can bring furniture, jewelry, china, rugs, paintings, whatever. The proceeds go to help children in need in Tucson.
Where can I buy tickets?
You can buy your tickets online at whatsitworth.org. That's What's It with a Z. Wait, where are you going?
I'm going to find my two items for What's It Worth. I love Michael Flanagan, and it's for a good cause. See you there.
Proceeds benefit Assistance League of Tucson.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Sheriff Dupnik for being our Friday Focus interview, and we welcome you back to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI AM 1030 and the Voice Network over Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. Each Friday afternoon, we present the Friday Reporters Roundtable, which was the cornerstone of Friday evenings on Channel 6 for more than 30 years. When it went away from TV a year ago this month, we brought it to radio on the Buckmaster Show, featuring local journalists sounding off on the week's top stories. Dylan Smith is with us, editor and publisher of the online news service TucsonSentinel.com and Mark Evans, administrator for the TucsonCitizen.com. We invite you to join us, 621. Check out 790-2040 on the Buckmaster Show live line. The Reporters Roundtable on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net. Mark, let's begin with you. The redistricting was the big story of the week. The governor, I guess, blinked.
Yeah, when is it these days?
Yeah. The governor decided no special session on redistricting.
Well, I think you had Frank Antonori on earlier this week.
I believe we had him on Monday.
Frank. And he provided some interesting details of what was going on up there. And the people have the impression that it's the governor and the legislature united together. He kind of stuck a fork in that a little bit, that there's a lot of division between legislative Republicans and the governor about what to do about redistricting and within the Senate. They wanted a special session. Antonori and some of his crew wanted a special session to try and reform the bill or try to do something to change what the commission is doing now. And there just wasn't support with that within the legislature. So the governor, seeing that as well, plus the outrage in the public over the attempt to oust the chairman of the commission, Colleen Mathis, I think has her and some of the other legislators pausing and saying, well, you know, maybe there isn't the public sentiment out there to completely destroy the commission. And so there's no reason to have a special session.
Just tactically trying to make any changes to the process at this very late hour in the redistricting process is just probably not a good idea, even if you don't like how things are turning out, because with the Justice Department having to review everything that happens with elections in the state of Arizona, the U.S. Justice Department, because of past discrimination, because of that overview, and the fact that we're coming up on a mandated election, there are federal deadlines that candidates have to meet for filing, it would probably throw it in front of a single judge who would then make these decisions.
Right, and it's not like they can just use the old maps, because we have nine legislative or congressional districts now too. But that aside, even though they're not going to try and monkey with it currently, there is some sentiment to try and reform the law that created the Independent Redistricting Commission. And some of those ideas, I think, have some merit. The one to try and repeal it, I think that's dead. That's not going to happen. But some of the other ones that Antonori and some of the others have been kicking around is to expand it from 5-member commission to 9, in which you'd have 3 Republicans, 3 Democrats, and 3 Independents. And I think that makes some sense, and that's probably something we should do, because as we've seen this year, If you get a 2-2 split, two Democrats and two Republicans split, that means one person, the independent chairman, has enormous power to decide the political apportionment, political power apportionment in the state. And that's an awful lot of power to invest in a single person. So I think maybe asking voters to expand it to a 9-member commission is not a bad idea.
There's so much poor information that's been floating around about the process and the decisions that have been made that I think a lot of people have been jumping up and down based on the results of things that they were in favor of previously.
Right.
You know, people wanted to have – a lot of the Tea Party people wanted to have 3 congressional districts that touched the border. And trying to draw those maps has repercussions all the way up to the top of the state, and you end up with the maps that we have now.
Right. And the 6 criteria that they're using to draw the maps is the problem, because those 6 criteria, trying to take together and trying to give them all equal weight, means you can't draw a map. You know, if you try to respect a community of interest, you can't get competitiveness. And if you try to get competitiveness, you got to divide up some communities of interest. And the fact that you have to have one person, one vote, which means they all have to have the same number of people. And then you have to deal with the Voting Rights Act and the Hispanic minority voting rights. And it just – it makes it almost impossible.
A lot of people have been saying that some people who disagree with how things have been moving forward say that competitiveness is one of the lesser criteria that's to be considered last. And I think there was a Supreme Court decision, Arizona Supreme Court decision, a couple of years ago that says competitive districts carry equal weight with the other factors.
Except that they then went on to say that there is a clause, and that only that particular criteria contains this clause, which says when it doesn't do harm to the other 5 criteria. And so there's 2 different trains of thoughts on this. One is that competitiveness is equal with all the other 5, and there's what I believe is that competitiveness is only equal with the other 5
if it doesn't mess up
one of the other ones.
Mark Evans is with us from TucsonCitizen.com, and Dylan Smith, TucsonSentinel.com. It's 12:40 on the Buckmaster Show. Perhaps you would like to join us if you've got a question about redistricting, 790-2040. Or does the public really care, Mark Evans, that much, or Dylan Smith,
about this issue? We probably just drove off some listeners with our policy
walkiness.
Somebody should call and give us something more interesting.
Well, what about inside baseball?
It is.
But it's
important.
It's got long-term effects.
It is important.
It is the apportionment of political power in the state, and it has enormous implications for the next 10 years. And that's why everyone predicted, including me, the beginning of this year, that this was going to be a brutal knockdown, drag-out fight. I had no idea it was going to be quite as brutal knockdown, drag-out as it is.
So what does it mean for Governor Brewer? Has this hurt her politically? I know
she's a lame duck no matter what. The legislature has to deal with her for the next 3 years.
No recall, even though there'd been talk.
You have to get so many signatures. I don't know that.
Mountain of signatures, yeah. And she is a lame duck. How much longer is she going to be around? I mean, do you really want to put? If you don't like her, if you disagree with her, if you wish she wasn't in office, do you want to put that kind of effort into getting rid of her only to have another election in which a Republican might win, or do you want to try and back some Democrats?
And she doesn't have any of the baggage currently that, you know, Russell Pierce took. I mean, a lot of people are encouraged that Russell Pierce got recalled, but he was his own worst enemy, and he had the Fiesta Bowl stink attached to him, and then the whole fiasco with this straw candidate or stalking horse candidate or whatever, and she doesn't have any of that.
And still, you have a very, very conservative Republican who won that seat. There wasn't a Democrat who ran. That's the only reason that he's not in office.
Yeah, so to go out to get a whole bunch of signature gatherers to go out and say, you know, the governor was a big meanie to the Independent Redistricting Commission and we should recall her, I don't see you getting 400,000 signatures out of that.
I see a whole lot of people shrugging their shoulders.
Yeah, so she's not damaged.
What about health care? There's some 19,000 children now on a waiting list for kids care. That's the state's version of the federally sponsored children's health insurance program. Is the state doing anything, Dylan, to try to loosen some of those budget cuts that were made for health care?
Well, Mark was just saying when we were off the air that they're trying to get some more kids onto what's it called now?
It's kids care.
Kids care. That they're going to get more kids on there. But we still have how many, 100,000 kids who aren't going to be on the program still? I mean.
Well, in order to balance the budget last year, they cut $500 million out of Access, which was like a 25% cut to Access. And one of the ways they did it was to freeze enrollments into the system, both for adults and for children. There were 45,000 kids enrolled at the time they did the freeze. There's only 14,000 now because the rest of them have either had their financial situation change or they've aged out. But this really isn't going to cost the state anything. What this is a bunch of hospitals and medical providers got together with some pooled resources and some pooled money that they can use that's allowable under a law that was passed last year to use for qualifying funds with the federal government. So they're going to put up like, I forget the numbers, $100 million or something like that, and they're going to get $200 million out of the federal government to help pay for this. But
does that have anything to do with the state?
No money will come out of the state, no. So, I mean, the governor was crowing about it, how this was a deal that got made, but this was the hospitals trying to find some way to save their bacon because, conversely, the other healthcare story that happened last week is that the hospitals associations are now suing the state over a proposed further 5% cut to Medicaid reimbursements to the hospitals. That was part of that $500 million cut. And what's happening is because the hospitals have to take anybody who goes into an emergency room, no matter what, with their ability to pay. And because of legal liability, if that person needs to be admitted, you can't say, sorry, you can't pay, get out. They have to admit them, and someone has to pay for that care. And if it's not going to be the state, then it has to be all the rest of us through the increased cost to private health insurance. And so what the hospitals are trying to say is that's a hidden tax, and it's illegal, and they're suing the state.
So somebody pays somewhere.
Right.
At this hour, many are saying goodbye to Mayor Bob Walkup and his 12 years of service to the city. We will have a new mayor officially sworn in on Monday. And what do you look for, Dylan? Much change in this Tucson council? Certainly they've got to deal with this situation with Rio Nuevo. They've got to somehow come to some kind of an agreement to get along better.
Well, as far
or at least
far as,
get along, not better.
As far as, you know, I don't think we're going to see any radical changes. We have a weak mayor system. The mayor doesn't really have all that much power in the city of Tucson. He can jump up and down and try and convince people of things. And you know, maybe we'll see some more out of that from Jonathan Rothschild than we saw from Bob Walker. But we just returned the same city council. You know, all the incumbents were reelected. So they have considerably more power, and along with the city manager, than the mayor alone does. As far as Rio Nuevo goes, that's a situation that's going to continue to grind for quite some time, I think. You still have the new members of the Rio Nuevo board who say that they don't even know how much money they have in the bank. They say that they don't have access to the records of whatever was spent. Some other people say, well, yes, they've been given the records. There's just even that is a point of serious controversy, that whether they have their own bank records or not. So this thing's going to go on for a while.
Yeah, I don't know that there's going to be a whole lot of change on the council with Rothschild, even though Bob Walkup was a Republican. It's not like he was a pound-a-shoe-on-the-table Republican, a constant no vote. He often went along with the Democratic majority on quite a few issues. So you would presume that Democrat Jonathan Rothschild is going to go along with the Democratic majority on a lot of issues. So I don't know that we're going to see a whole lot change. Rothschild's got a little bit different operating style. Bob Walkup was probably the most optimistic person I've ever met in my life.
I would agree with that.
I used to refer to him as ebullient Bob. he just always seemed pleasant and
very
happy.
Very sunny, very
absolutely
sunny disposition.
And he was, as cheerleader-in-chief, he was probably one of the best we've ever had. Mm-hmm. Whatever he did policy-wise, he's going to be pinned to Rio Nuevo, his 12 years there, anything else that may have happened, even the streetcar, Rio Nuevo is going to hang around his neck. And if Rio Nuevo continues to be the disaster that it is, it's going to be a tarnish on his term, his three terms. But if it turns around and turns out long term to have worked, then I think over time his reputation or his legacy will improve.
Would you really say Rio Nuevo is an unmitigated disaster? I mean, a lot of money was spent, and there was money, considerable
infrastructure,
considerable piles of money spent on planning for the
right.
U of A Science mm-hmm. Center.
They didn't
things that
achieve.
Didn't go, but there was money that was actually spent on things that were pretty needed downtown.
Right.
Lots
I mean,
of infrastructure
they had this
work.
List of things they were going to do, and they didn't do any of them, or most of them. But they did spend money downtown, and they did change the focus and the attitude. And so where downtown was a cultural and epicurean void, if you will, there's now a lot of, there is a resurgence, a revitalization of downtown, and that's what Rio Nuevo was supposed to be. There has been a huge investment of private money downtown in conjunction with Rio Nuevo money. So, Rio Nuevo, if you go to that list that everybody passed in 1999 that voted on and approved it, yeah, they didn't accomplish any of that. And you'd have to say, by that definition, it's a failure. But I think in terms of changing the focus of downtown and improving downtown, I would say that it is either a success or beginning to be a success.
Well, certainly in some people's opinion. One way to look at that is a lot of hipsters are really starting to complain quite a bit about gentrification.
Right.
So something has changed downtown. Right. If, you know,
there's money to be made down there.
If you know, their weird, hip downtown Tucson is going away.
But you know, the $230 million that gets kicked around was not lost or or disappeared like you see in a lot of the comments on news articles. It was spent. It was not taken out into a field and buried somewhere. It's not missing.
It's not in that big hole.
Right.
Is that what they're digging for?
Mark Evans and Dylan Smith, thank you very much. Hope you both have great weekends. Thanks a lot.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. 2 out of 3 people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, You could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
That music signals the weekend with the culinary cruiser Man About Town, looking always for a good meal, Matt Russell. And what does Matt Russell do on a day like this when it's kind of cool and overcast and wet? Does he get rid of the short sleeve Hawaiian shirt that he wears every Friday to Russell Communications? The answer is yes. He goes into his closet and pulls out the 1970s Bee Gees long sleeve disco shirt and puts a chain around his neck to keep the body weight in. There he is, Matt Russell.
How in the world do you know what I'm wearing? That's just stunning. Week in and week out. Well, normally, Bill, we're twisting and shouting by the pool, but we're twisting and shouting today by the fire, just celebrating all that this season has for us, and that includes for foodies all across Southern Arizona.
Any grand openings this weekend?
Absolutely. Today and tomorrow, up till midnight of both days, there's a new place that's just opened up on Oracle and Orange Grove called The Parish, specializing in Southern fusion cuisine. They're going to be having free food samples and drink specials and prize drawings. Everyone's talking about this great new sandwich there called the War Pig. Bill, check it out. Spicy pork shoulder, braised pork belly, smoked bacon, homemade pork rinds with a habanero aioli on a brioche bun. I'm ready for battle, Bill.
Somebody from the South Pacific must have brought that one back. I mean, you know, that's got pig all over it.
This is a beltbuster for sure.
Holiday season, Tohono O'Toole Park, it's always fun.
One of our favorite places to go during the holidays, this beautiful botanical garden. Tonight and tomorrow night from 5:30 to 8:30, Bill, nearly 1 million lights are going to be on display, shining up the entire park out there. They're going to have wine tastings and hot cider and live music. And, of course, you can have a special occasion and have dinner there at the Tea Room. Chef Albert Hall has an amazing menu over there. Holiday night's always a great tradition.
Let me ask you something before we get on to what else is going on this weekend. Have you finished off at the Russell House all the leftovers yet? Or perhaps that happened at about 11 o'clock last Thursday, Thanksgiving night. It was gone.
Well, in the Russell household, Thanksgiving leftovers is kind of an oxymoron. There's no such thing as leftover food at the Russell House after Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah, that turkey went very, very quickly. Anybody interested in tamales?
Yeah, one of the great things we love about living here in Tucson is this great Christmas tradition, and it's the 7th annual Tamale and Heritage Festival. Tomorrow, all day, from 10 to 5, out at the Ava Amphitheater at Sol Casinos, be celebrating the local culinary tradition of making tamales for Christmas. There'll be a tamale-making contest, tamales for sale, live entertainment, arts and crafts all day tomorrow out at Sol Casinos. Now, I don't know about the Buckmaster House, Bill, but according to Russell tradition, between the green corn tamale and the red beef tamale, we're carnivores. We like the red beef. How about you?
I will go with, just to be the contrarian, perhaps the vegetarian.
Equal time for the vegetarians in your listening audience.
This is a great time of year, the holidays, and perhaps you were listening to the Buckmaster Show. We were talking on the Reporters Roundtable today about the resurgence of downtown, and really what has led the downtown resurgence is the culinary scene, isn't it?
Indeed. We have a lot to be proud of, and it really is a lot of great ethnic cuisines, you know, great Thai food, Mexican food, Italian food. You just take a walk around the block downtown, and you can really have an international culinary experience. We just love it.
And a lot of new restaurants continuing to open?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things that's fascinated me as a foodie here. Probably 80% of the restaurants that have opened in Tucson have all captured the vision of downtown, and they're really taking advantage of the hustle and bustle down there. We just love it.
Well, we will let Matt Russell now get back to his, he's taking a rather long, you didn't go out for lunch today, did you?
Actually, I had a lovely bowl of Tom Kha Gai soup from China Thai on Tankaverde. I just finished it up. It just warms my heart.
All right. Well, they're waiting for you now at Russell Communication. You said you'd be back later. Well, we'll see whether that happens or not. Matt Russell, thanks. Have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
All right. The Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show is presented in part by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more at splendidoaz.net. The Buckmaster Show is also brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers Rieger and Associate Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of my producer, the lovely and talented Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We will see you Monday with our political face-off. Have a great weekend.